15, John chapter number 15. We'll read verses 1 through verse number 7, John 15, as we continue in this thought of abiding in Jesus Christ. This is the fourth in the series of messages of the same title, Abiding in Christ. And tonight we're going to look at this idea and this thought of abiding in prayer. If you found your place in John chapter number 15, let's stand as we give respect to the reading of God's Word. We'll just read the first 7 verses for this evening. The Bible says in John chapter number 15, beginning in verse number 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Before we go to the Lord in a word of prayer this evening, I just want to remind you, I didn't forget about your memory verses, amen. It's just been 2 weeks since we preached on this idea of abiding in Christ. So get them verses out, get them down, get them memorized. Just toss them on the back table back there, because you'll have an opportunity next Sunday evening, amen, to share with us what those verses are, amen. So let's bow our heads. We'll go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we bow before you this evening, Lord, and we do thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, that we find from your word, Father, that we are to abide to the vine. So, Father, I pray as we look at this thought of abiding in Jesus Christ or abiding in that vine, Father, that you would help us understand that we need to abide in this area of prayer. Father, I pray that this message, Father, would just not be shoved off to the side and someone thinking even right now the possibility, oh no, another message on prayer. Oh, Father, I pray that they'll listen to what you have for them, Father, to apply these truths to our life, Father. And we'll see that as we abide in the vine, as we abide next to Christ, as we cling to that vine, as we come together to you, Father, with prayer, Lord, that you'll abundantly bless our lives. So, Father, we pray again for those that are not here, Father. We pray that you would watch over them. Those that are listening by the way of the internet, Father, I pray that you would be with them, Father. May they not be distracted, Father. May they pay attention and may they receive from you this evening as well. So, Lord, we do love you, we do thank you, and we do seek to give you honor and glory, because there is nobody else that deserves it more than thee. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Good morning, Lord. I present myself to you as a living sacrifice. I'm here to serve you and to obey your orders. What would you like me to do today? What if that prayer became your prayer? What if every day that you re-enlisted in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the service of our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I wonder how differently your life would be if you prayed a prayer like that. I'm going to say it again. Good morning, Lord. I present myself to you as a living sacrifice. I'm here today to serve you and to obey your orders. What would you like me to do for you today? Oh, I think about that simple but short prayer, how it would change lives, my life and your life and the life of those around us if we would just think along that line. The problem is simply this, that we know a lot about prayer, don't we? We heard messages about prayer. We talk about prayer, but the truth of the matter is we don't pray. We talk about it, we think about it, but we don't pray. I think the need of every church, the need of every preacher, the need of every family that's represented here at Sharon Baptist Church tonight is not a seminar in prayer. We don't need to learn how to pray. We just don't need a book on how to pray better. What we need to do is just get down on our knees, both knees, and pray to the Heavenly Father. We just need to pray, just like the Nike slogan, just do it, amen. That's what God wants us to do. Throughout the Bible, God tells us of his desire for you and I to commune with him in prayer. He expects us to commune with him. He tells us he expects it. He shows us his willingness to help us when we have needs or problems in our life. So the question I have for you this evening, Does your life more closely resemble a crisis management mentality, or does it closely resemble a prayer-dependent mentality? And I'd submit to you today that probably a majority of Christians today in and outside of this church, if they were honest between them and God and themselves, they would have to say that their life more closely resembles a crisis management mentality rather than a prayer-dependent mentality. It's been my experience that too many Christians are very good at praying when others are around. I mean, you ask them to pray in church, they'll stand up, and man, they'll pull their heart out to God, thanking Him for the offering, asking Him to bless on our Wednesday prayer and Bible study times. When others are around, they're prayer warriors for God, and anyone else looking at them would say, man, they must be in touch with the Heavenly Father to pray like that. But the truth of the matter is, when they lead the church, they lead the group, or they lead the gathering, we find out they don't really often have a personal, private time with the Lord. And the words that they pray in front of us are really just mental assents from the top of their head. And oftentimes it's revealed because of the words that they just repeat over and over again every time they're asked to pray. Praying for a meal or praying for an offering can just become routine. But private prayer is an abiding relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that abiding relationship can be overwhelming at times in our life. If you intend to have an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, and I hope and pray that you have already made your mind up that you're going to have an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to have to learn how to abide with Him in this area of prayer as well. We must learn how to spend time with Him, praising Him, pleading with Him, and interceding on behalf of other people. So the million-dollar question that we're going to ask and answer this evening is simply this. Pastor Dave, how can we abide in Christ through prayer? How can I, me, and you abide in Christ through this mode of prayer? Notice first of all in verse number 7 of our text, notice the preparation for prayer. Notice the word in verse number 7, a very, very small word, the beginning word. That word is if. The Bible says in verse number 7, if we abide in Him. Notice that word if. There's something we must do before we can receive the promise. The promise is given, but God says, listen, there's something that you're going to have to do if you want the promise to come into your life. I'm thinking of Romans 10 and verse number 17, where the Bible says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Jesus says that as we are preparing for a fruitful prayer life, you must abide in Him, and guess what? His words must abide in us. God's word should guide our prayer life, and too many times God's word doesn't guide our prayer life. And I can remember several years ago, I heard a message, and a guy wrote a book, but I never got it. It talked about praying through the Bible, literally praying some of the promises that were in God's Word. You know, the more mature in Christ we are, the more you understand the Word of God, and the more your prayer life will be in sync with God's will and God's desires and God's design for your life. So it would behoove you and I to really get a hold of this idea of abiding in prayer. In Proverbs 28, in verse number 9, we find these words. He that turneth away his ear, get this now, from hearing the law, or if you allow me to say from hearing the word of God, or hearing the preaching and teaching of God's word, even his prayer shall be, get this now, an abomination. And God's saying if you're not listening to his word and we're trying to ask him for something in our life, that our prayer is literally translated this way, abomination, disgusting. Our prayer is disgusting, or it's an abomination to Him. Perhaps maybe you did this at school. I know that I've been guilty of this. Remember that subject that you hated in junior high or senior high school? And I shake in my head, yes, math, science, art, everything, except for history and choir, all the rest that I desperately hated. I remember how I didn't like the teacher. I didn't like the lectures. I didn't like the subject. And I didn't listen in class when I should have listened. And just the same way, God says that when we reject His law and reject His Bible and reject His instructions from the Bible, that our prayer is an abomination to God. And I can guarantee you this, because I didn't like my teacher, didn't like the lecture, didn't like the subject, didn't listen in class, my grades were an abomination to my parents and a shame to me. And just the same way, God says that when we reject His law and His institutions, that our prayer is abomination. I mean, think about that. Grab a hold of that thought that is an abomination unto God. And God desires more than to be an emergency relief base in times of need in our life. He desires a deeper and abiding prayer life more than just when things go wrong. I like what the psalmist says in Psalm 37 and verse number 4. The Bible says this: delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, God doesn't want to hold any blessings from any of us. He loves us. If you're saved and born again, trust in Him as your personal Savior, guess what? He's your Father, and God is your Father now. And just as an earthly father desires to give gifts unto his children and grandchildren, God desires to give gifts to His children as well. And He doesn't want to withhold any blessings from us. And He says if we'll delight in His Word, He'll give us the very desires of our hearts. So Jesus answers this question: how can we abide more effectively in prayer? And I think He gives us some step-by-step instructions how we can maintain an abiding relationship with Him through this matter of prayer. There's several prerequisites for prayer if we're going to have an abiding relationship with Him through prayer. Notice, first of all, that we ought to praise the Lord. You know, our hearts ought to be set on praise and adoration of God when we come to God. You know, oftentimes that we gather together to worship, we gather together for the teaching and preaching of God's Word, but be quite honestly with you, most of the time, our hearts are not set on praise, our hearts are not set on adoration, our hearts are not set on worship, our hearts are not set on receiving something from God from the preaching and teaching of God's words. And we stroll in through the doors and we crack the doors and the world's still in front of us, it's behind us, it's beside us, it's in our mind, it's in our thoughts, and listen, we're not in the right mind frame before we come into the house of the Lord. And that's why it's so imperative that you spend time alone at your house in preparation to coming to God's house. You know, if you were to spend as much time in preparation getting ready to worship as the pastor or the teacher does preparing to teach or preach, this church would be unstoppable. The local New Testament church would be unstoppable for Jesus Christ if you would prepare your hearts for that. You know, when Jesus taught His disciples to pray, He began with this phrase. He said, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It's more than just a repeated prayer. It's meant to be a pattern of prayer for you and I. And if our hearts are going to be prepared for prayer, we need to understand the holiness and the power of God. And we need to come to Him with sincere praise and sincere honor all the time. So we see this lived out in the life of the Apostle Paul and Silas. I'm sure you're familiar with the story. And notice their testimony after being thrown into jail at the jail of Philippi. The Bible says in Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Now remember now, they were thrown into prison, and they were giving God honor and glory for the privilege they had to be in prison for Him. And they gave testimony to those lost men around Him, and you're familiar with the rest of the story. We find that Paul and Silas, these were really two men whose hearts were filled with the praise of God. Listen, if you can be in a jail and you're praising, giving God honor and glory for your suffering for Him, my friend, there are some hearts that are filled with the praise for God. Amen. The other day I was speaking with Miss Ramona. She's telling me about her impending surgery. She's telling me about the gravity of the upcoming surgery and how it's really going to literally change her life physically and the way that she handles her life. It's going to be a big change for her. But then she said for a moment, she thought for a moment and said this. She said, "At first I thought I got a little bit down about this thing. I got a little bit down about what it's going to entail and how much extra work it's going to be for me. And I began to wonder, Lord, why did you allow this to come into my life?" She said, "I thought about it for just a split second." And then she said this. She said, "Then I thought, man, I have something else to add to my testimony to give praise and honor and glory to God for what He'd done in my life." And I thought, oh God, I wonder if that would be me if I was facing the surgery she was facing and the life after that. I began to think, would I stand and say, well, God, there's one more thing that I can praise you and give you honor and glory for? And I came to the conclusion that I don't know if I would have that kind of testimony. I might be like others that just would be down in the mouth and be worried and not understanding why God's doing that. But she said, that's something else I can praise him for. Well, those two men, along with Ramona, I can tell you this, they were men that had a heart filled with the praise of God. You see, pleasing God is the preparation for a successful prayer life. You know, if you want to please God, give him honor and glory and praise and worship. Well, we see, first of all, that we ought to praise the Lord, but then something else in preparation for prayer is we ought to confess known sin. Confess known sin. You say, oh, I already knew that, Pastor Dave. Well, I just want to remind you because Psalm 66, verse 18 says this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You know, so we take prayer requests on Wednesday, and we ought to rightly do that, and we write them down, and we tell you, go home, and remember to use this prayer bulletin each week and pray for those that have needs. But you understand this, that you can pray all you want. If you regard iniquity or sin in your heart, the Lord will not hear your prayer. And I believe that a majority of Christians really get together with the Lord, and they have iniquity in their heart, and they have known sin, and they're not willing to take care of that thing that's in their life that so easily besets them, and they waffle off some prayer to God, and it just goes up, and just goes up, and just goes up. And God says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I don't know about you. I don't have the time to waste, amen. If I'm going to spend 30 or 45 minutes in prayer every day, I want to be sure that my prayers are going to be heard. I want to make sure that if I'm petitioning God on your behalf, that God's going to hear that and answer that according to your perfect will. If I hide unconfessed sin in my heart, the Lord said he will not hear me. Now grab a hold of that and think about that. When you bow your knee in the morning to do your devotions, when you lay your head and you pillow your head tonight, I want you to think about that. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I want you to take a good inward retrospect, look at yourself, and ask God if there's any unconfessed sin in your life. And oftentimes there's sin in our life that we don't even recognize it as sin. And our carnal flesh won't, but God through the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you and make it known to you so you can confess it and forsake it. To have a successful prayer life, guess what we're going to have to do? Come clean with God. You know, we won't come clean with our spouses. We won't come clean with our boss. We won't come clean with our friends and our families. But understand this. We must confess our sins to him. Anything less than that is just a mere show and a pretense of our prayer life. Here's the truth. God already knows your sin. You're not hiding anything from God. He already knows what you have done. He knew it before you even thought it, before it manifested up in yourself and you acted upon that. God already knows the sin that you have committed. So why? We can't put a front up in front of God. We can't hide it from God. So when you begin your time with God, you should enter into his presence. Number one, acknowledge your sin and then seek his forgiveness. And after you do that, give him some praise and honor and glory for what he has done in your life. Make sure that you are right with God as you approach him. Otherwise, you're just wasting your time. Number three, we should exercise faith. In Matthew 21 and verse 22, we find these words, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Boy, I like it when the Lord just lays it out there. He said, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. That word believe literally translates this way. It means to put total confidence in the Lord. You know, God's word promises us that when we pray by faith, believing, that we can have the blessings of God upon our life. Understand this. Faith doesn't mean this. Faith does not mean that we're demanding something from God. Faith is not telling God what to do. Faith believes that God can do whatever he desires to do. Faith places total confidence in the power of God. But not only should our prerequisites for prayer be praising the Lord, confessing our sin, and thoroughly exercising faith, but notice something else. We find that we should also pray in Jesus' name. And as we come to the Lord in prayer, we must remember to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. In John 14 and verse 13, the Lord says, "And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So when we pray in Jesus' name, we invoke the authority and the power of God. And we're asking God that His will be done in our life. Pray in Jesus' name. And then fifthly, we find that we are to pray persistently. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, the first part of that verse, the Bible says, praying always with all prayer. James 5 and verse 16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, we find these words by the Apostle Paul, pray without ceasing. Let me illustrate it to you this way. One night there was a fifth grade boy and he was praying by himself in his room, and he had just heard a sermon by his pastor on this idea of being persistent in his prayer life. And then his dad walked down the hall, he heard the boy praying over and over again, Tokyo, Tokyo, Tokyo. His dad thought that was kind of strange. The boy got done, went to bed, and everything was done. In the morning, his curiosity got the best of him, and his dad said, "Son," he said, "what were you praying about last night?" He said, "Well, Dad, I gave the wrong answer for the capital of Mexico on a test, and I was praying that Tokyo would become the capital of Mexico." Amen. Listen, you could say this about him. He was persistent, wasn't he? Amen. He was persistent. We find that in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus taught the disciples that there were certain prayer requests that are only going to be answered through persistent and consistent prayer. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, he says this, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Let me put it to you in words that we can understand. Be consistent and persistent in our prayer life. To abide in prayer, we must continually bombard the throne room of grace with our requests. Persistent prayer is more than just coming to God every once in a while, particularly when big problems come our way. Well, we see not only do we have the preparation for prayer, but then notice the definition of prayer. You say, "Well, Pastor Dave, I was born at night, but not last night. I think I could define prayer." Let me help you. Let me define prayer this way. Here's a simple way to define prayer. Prayer is asking. That's a simple way to define prayer, isn't it? Prayer is asking God for help, if you want to make it more complicated. You know, I realize that when you and I define prayer after you've been saved for a few days, we define it as talking to God, we define it as confessing our sins to God, and we define it as adoring God, praising God, giving Him honor and glory. But really, the heart of prayer is simply this, as we melt down all those other things, it's simply asking God for help in our life. In Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, we find our Savior says this, "Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you." Verse 8 continues on, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh," the Bible says, "it shall be opened." The Word of God is telling us that prayer is just simply asking God for what needs we have in this life. You know, the Lord blesses our persistence, and as we continue to come to Him with our request, He honors them according to His perfect will for our lives. You know, God is pleased with our persistency. You know, I heard someone one time say this, "Well, I've been asking God for the last 5 years and he hasn't answered it yet, so I think I'm just going to stop. The answer must be no." Listen, the answer might be no, but it's only no that God shows you through His written word. And the answer might be yes, the answer could be maybe, or the answer might be not now, but we'll see a little bit down the road. And you give up before you get an answer from God. Listen, there's testimonies of people who have been persistent for years and years and years and years, 20-some years gone by, and their loved one gets saved, and their best friend gets healed, and God works financially in their life and spiritually, and they find a church they can unite with. And so understand this, that be persistent in your prayers. God never gets tired of you asking. He's not like us. when our kids are in the back of the car and we're going on a trip to Disneyland. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Where's Mickey Mouse at? Where's Minnie Mouse at? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Listen, we get tired of that as parents, but listen, God our Father never gets tired. If it's on your prayer list, as long as God leads you to keep it on there, you keep it on there, be consistent and persistent in your prayer, and God promises that in His will it shall come to pass. Well, prayer is asking, and asking is subject, get this now, to abiding in His will. If prayer is asking, but our asking must be subject to the will of God. You know, we can ask for a lot of things, but it's not God's will. Guess what? It's not going to happen. If it doesn't happen, listen, don't get mad at God. You're the one that asked Him, and you asked Him for it. And you know, you as born-again believers have been saved for any length of time, understand that God doesn't give us everything we want, and I thank God for that. There's a lot of things I prayed for. And I'm thank God that I never got, you know. I'm thankful for that because it wasn't the Lord's will and He protected me in that way. If you're away from God and you're resisting the will of God, if you're dishonoring Him, if you're denying His voice, and you probably will be asking for things that you should not be asking and are not good for you. And God has no obligation to hear that prayer, let alone answer that prayer. In 2 Corinthians 12, we find that the Apostle Paul asked the Lord for something on three different occasions. And I believe he asked it for far more times than that. But it's recorded for us for three times. And in His will, the Lord did not heal Paul. But He did tell him this in verse number 9. He told him that His grace would be sufficient for him. In verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 12, the Bible says this. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know, we could stop right there and say, oh God, forgive me. Many times I've cried out, God, for you to meet a need, and it didn't seem that you didn't hear me. It didn't answer it the way that I thought you should answer it. And God says, but my grace is still sufficient. Then He goes on to say, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So the Apostle Paul says, listen, I realize this, that this infirmity that I have, and some believe it was his bad eyesight. We don't know what it is, but some believe that could be it. And the Apostle Paul said, God, take this infirmity away from me. Take this away that I could be used greater of you. And God says, no, that's not the case. My grace is going to be sufficient to strengthen you in this trial and this tribulation that you're going for. And Paul quickly realizes and he says, most gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities. He said that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, Paul understood that when he was weak, God was strong. And when Paul was strong, he left God out. And he truly became weak. It's an oxymoron. You trust God and you have more faith. And if you think you can do it on your own, guess what? You're going to have less faith. And so just trust in Him and believe on Him. Sometimes we pray for things that aren't in God's will for our life. And He may choose not to heal. Or He may choose not to remove that trial, that tribulation, that problem that you're going through. In those times, He chooses to give us that special measure of grace. Listen, Paul didn't get something that's not available to you and I. Listen, if God chooses not to heal, not to provide, not to meet that need, His grace is still sufficient for thee. His strength will carry us through that trial and that tribulation, that problem that enters into our life. And that's why Paul was able to say, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. And Paul was saying that even if God chooses not to take away my trials, He's going to continue to praise Him, to give Him honor and give Him glory no matter what comes His way. I wonder how many of us could say, Pastor Dave, that's my testimony tonight. In my deepest, darkest trial of my life, I cried out to God and said, God, most gladly will I therefore glory in my infirmities. You know, the truth is, God is not a genie. And oftentimes we believe that God is a genie. You know, I was speaking to someone this week, and they were telling me a little bit about their background, and they said they had this Bible that was passed down by their family, and when they had bad dreams, they'd take this Bible and they put it on their pillow, and the bad dreams would stop. And I thought, oh my, you got to be kidding me. Oh, that's not the way that we get rid of bad dreams in our life. And I began to think about that and meditate upon that. I began to think Simply, God's not a genie. You know, you can't rub your Bible, rub it on top of your head. You know, there used to be a time when people would buy lottery tickets and they rub it on their head, and that was supposed to be good luck. Listen, putting this Bible under your pillow is not good luck. Carrying a New Testament around every day so people can see that you carry around New Testament is not good luck. God is not a genie, and prayer is not my opportunity to tell God what to do, when too many times that's what we do. We say, okay, God, here's the problem. I'm coming to you. I got it figured out. I'm going to tell you what you need to do, so just go ahead and do it. And by the way, God, do it right now because I'm kind of in a hurry for it. Faith does not blind God to my desires. God knows your heart. Listen, He created you. He born you again into His family. Listen, He understands you. He knows you. He knows your heart. Prayer is my privilege I have to seek His will and to ask Him for His help in accomplishing God's will in my life. James 4, verse 3 puts it very pointedly. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. You know, sometimes we completely miss the mark in our prayer lives. Let me illustrate it to you this way. There's a man who prays something like this. God, I really need a new speedboat. I hope nobody wants a new speedboat here, because I'm not referring to you. God, I really need a new speedboat. We could say down here a new bass boat or a new boat for the ocean. And if you give me that speedboat, God, I promise you this, that I'll only miss two times a month from the house of God. But God, when I do miss those two Sundays a month, I promise to have devotions in my boat before I go fishing on my boat. Let me tell you, sometimes we completely miss the mark in our prayer lives. And we laugh, but you know what? We kind of do the same thing sometimes. You know, we say, oh God, I like a brand new fifth wheel. Make it a Lux. $145,000 fifth wheel. I mean, it's laid out beautiful, solid oak wood. It has drawers that just suck back in real nice. Listen, it's 40 foot of luxury. It has a dishwasher in it. How about that, praise the Lord? A dishwasher. It has a rain soft shower. It has a 65-inch OLED TV, whatever that is. It's stainless steel. It has real rock fireplace. Now, the fireplace isn't real, but the rock is. The floors are made from hardwood. The bed is made from the best mattress you can get. The furniture is Lazy Boy's best that they make. I mean, I'm telling you, this is a very, very nice thing. And we pray and we say, oh God, give me a Lux fifth wheeler. I'll only miss services once or twice a month. And when I do, I promise before the football game, I will have devotions with my family. You know, all of us like to strike deals with God. We pray and say, oh God, would you just give me that? I wonder, who do we think we really are to pray to a holy God just like that? I mean, really, what is our standing with God that we can go to Him and say, okay, God, let me strike a deal with you here? You know, here's the truth. You can't pray against a biblical principle to support a prayer and expect God to bless you. Now, if you would say, God, boy, I really like to have that Lux fifth wheeler. Boy, it's 40 foot of luxury. Man, it has six things that level itself automatically. And God, oh man, there's a big screen on the outside that we can watch NASCAR with after we come to church. And God, I can promise you this. If you'll give me that, I'll only go camping till Saturday. And I'll come back to your house on Sunday morning. And I'll be in church and teaching my Sunday school class. And I'll be there to give my tithes, my offerings, my love gifts, and my faith promise. And God, I'll not let it interfere in my soul winning. And wherever I go, whatever campground you lead me, whatever place that I am, God, I'm going to be a soul winner for you. Guess what? You might just get that, amen. Get a big fat payment with it, but you might just get what you want. Sometimes we don't get what we want because we ask amiss. And you can't pray against a biblical principle and expect God to bless you. God's not going to give you something that takes you away from the things that He has already for you. You know, James said our prayers are not answered because they're off the mark, and so many times ours are. Here's the truth. If you're not abiding in Jesus Christ, then more than likely your prayers are focused on things that God does not desire for you. Because I found this out. The closer I am to Christ, the more that I'm abiding to the vine, the closer I am to Him in prayer, in fellowship, the more things that I used to want don't really matter that much to me anymore. And you actually could be praying dangerously when you're praying and asking God for things out of His perfect will for your life. Well, when we think about abiding prayer, not only do we think about the preparation for the prayer, not only do we think about the definition of prayer, but notice lastly, and this is the exciting part, the manifestation of prayer. You know what happens when people start to pray? What happens when moms and dads and pastors and deacons and church members begin to pray? Listen, Jesus gives us that answer. He says, "You shall ask whatever ye will, and it shall be done unto you." What an authoritative statement that Jesus Christ makes. And if I meet the prerequisites that Jesus set forth, guess what? This will be true in my life. But not only in my life, in your life as well. And the life of your friends and your loved ones and your co-workers and all those that you brush up against day in and day out. He simply says, it shall be done unto you. The problem is most of us really do not want to pay the price that it takes for God to do that. You see, God will intervene. Think about Moses. Think about Gideon. Think about Hannah. Each of these came to God at different times in their life, asking God for specific help in their life. They came seeking His provision, seeking His power in their lives. And every time, God honored their request. He intervened in their lives with His mighty power. I think of the great missionary William Carey. He was the great missionary a couple centuries ago to the nation of India. And oftentimes, I mean over and over again in his preaching and his teaching and his writings, he would say these words, "Attempt great things for God and expect great things for God." He was a man who learned very early on in his ministry how to pray, and a man who believed that God could answer prayers as he prayed according to God's will for his life. You know, we serve a God who specializes in impossibilities and mightily answers our prayers. Thank God for that. There's no doubt there's somebody here this evening, tonight, that needs some help from God. You've been thinking about it. You may perhaps even praying about it. And you need to hear from God tonight in the next couple of days. And God promises that if you will abide in Him and His Word abides in us, we find that we can ask what we will and it shall be done unto us. Not only will God intervene for us, but notice lastly, God will answer our prayers. You know, why would God be so available to you and I? Think about it. Mere mortal man. I know He created us and He's our Father, but listen, we live in His flesh and we're sinful and we're wicked and our heart is deceitful above all else, and who can know what the Bible says? But why would God be so available to us? Why would God care for you and I? Why is He so interested in answering our prayers? Jesus said in John 14, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." There's the answer to the question, that He wants to answer our prayers in order that the Father may be glorified through His Son, Jesus Christ. Why does the Lord bless us? He blesses us because He wants us to glorify Him in return when He answers our prayer. He wants us to hear us sing praises to Him. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. He wants us to praise Him, give Him honor and glory. He desires our praise. He desires our thanksgiving. So that's why the Lord desires to bless us. That's why He wants to answer our prayers. And God answers prayers so that it will tell others about His goodness. That's why on Wednesdays we take so much time taking praises and blessings and testimonies, because God inhabits our praise. God desires our praise. God answers our prayers that we might glorify Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. He desires for you and I to tell someone about the blessings in our life. And He wants us to share our victories with others and glorify Him before men. If you've ever been healed, If you've ever been blessed, ever been cared for, God desires for you to tell someone about it. If your marriage has been spared by God's grace, tell someone about it. If someone recognizes God's blessings on your life, don't take the credit for it because you're really nobody. Give God the honor. Give God the glory for it all. An abiding Christian is a praying Christian. Prayer is what began your relationship with Jesus Christ when we prayed and ask God to forgive us for our sins at the moment of your salvation. And prayer is the key that begins an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this evening and you've been saved but really haven't got to this area of an abiding prayer life with Jesus Christ. I'm telling you this evening that you're missing the thrust of your personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's more than you just being saved. It's about you abiding with Him in this area of prayer. Abide with Him. Come to Him moment by moment in your life and seek His help in every aspect of your life. Listen, there is nothing too small in your life that God is not concerned about. I once heard a Sunday school teacher say this, and I might have used this illustration before, but it puts a good point. He said, I don't think God is concerned about what we wear each and every day. I don't think I have to get up and say, okay, God, you want me to wear the blue shirt, the white shirt? What color pants go with that, God? How about the brown one, the blue one? Or what about my shoes today? Am I going to wear flip-flops or am I going to wear dress shoes or shall I wear casual shoes? And he said, I don't think we have to go to God in that. Listen, I would say this. I don't think you need to do that, but if God impressed it upon you, God cares about it because you care about it. And there's nothing too small, too trivial to take before God. He is our Heavenly Father. So don't ever think, don't ever let me hear you say, well, I'm not going to bother God with that. Listen, God wants to be bothered. He wants you to be persistent in your prayer life. You take it to Him. If it's burdened on your heart, even if it's what you're going to wear for a special meeting, trust Him with the answer and go to Him. He cares. He loves you. And listen, and when God tells you what to wear, and you walk into the office and they say, woohoo, you're looking pretty sporty today. You say, praise God, I was praying about what to wear today. I'm glad you noticed. Thank God. They might think you're a nut, but you know what? That's a good nut to be, amen. Well, come to Him moment by moment. Seek His help in every aspect of your life. He's waiting to meet with you right now. As you prepare your heart for daily prayer, ask yourself these questions. Number one, am I abiding with Him now? And then number two, am I acknowledging His power and His presence in my life? If you can say that you are, then glory to God for that. How about this? Third question, am I praising His name? Have I confessed my sin? Do I believe that He can and will answer this prayer? Am I praying in Jesus' name persistently? Am I studying the Word of God faithfully? If you can answer yes to those seven questions, you're ready to see some fruit in your prayer life. Abiding in prayer, it's our responsibility. That's where our power comes from. Would you abide in Christ? Abide in prayer. Father, we love You this evening. We thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. Oh, Father, I do pray, Lord, that You would bless this time of invitation. Oh, Father, no doubt there's some that are here that could have been saved for a very long time, but really haven't really been abiding next to the vine, Father. Because of that, they really haven't had an abiding prayer life with You.